call the Tuesday, June 2nd Common Council meeting to order. Madam Clerk, please call the roll.
Mayor Olson.
Here.
Alderman Vandrea.
Aye. Here.
Alderman Mayor is excused but should be here shortly. Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Here.
Alderwoman Evans.
Here.
Alderman Schmidt.
Present.
Alderwoman Mayor.
Here.
We have a quorum. Please rise and join the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
A couple of things before we get started. First thing is, please turn your cell phones off or vibrate. Second thing is, it's a great weekend here in the city of Franklin, even though it'll happen in Michigan. Our city engineer is leaving Friday morning to get married to a wonderful lady, Elsie Owen, on Saturday. So congratulations, Mr. Moore. And we'll welcome her. Where in Michigan? What time? We will welcome your new bride just as we welcome, well, no, better than we welcome you. Okay, so we have a quorum. I will go to item B, citizens' comment period. Is there any citizen wishing to speak on any matter? Please come forward. Give us your name and address, please, for the record.
My name is Paul Luck, and I live at 9261 South 46th Street, and I'm in favor of the proposal for the city water. I've lived there for 30 years, and we've been fighting with a shared well for all those years, and the well now has been deemed by the DNR as non-compliant anymore, and nothing can be done to it. My one neighbor has agreed to, because it's on a shared well, and my one neighbor has agreed to go with a new well, and my other neighbor has opposed us and been fighting us every step of the way. And it, according to the DNR, it's just a civil matter now, but it hasn't become too civil lately.
Great, thank you. And Dawn, I've got some tailoring for you to do later.
Stop it, not in your turn.
Excellent. Anyone else wishing to speak on any matter? Anyone else? An old face.
Tom Taylor, 7014 Elroy Court. I just rise to ask the council to review some of its previous documents, specifically Resolution 92-3861. It's a resolution authorizing the undertaking of the expansion of the Franklin Business Park. And I ask the elected representatives of the people of Franklin to take a good look and to pay close attention to the processes, procedures that were put in place in the development and expansion of the current Franklin Business Park. My understanding is that there is going to be some discussion relatively soon about various areas of the city and where dollars will be appropriated and expended for infrastructure improvements. I'm going by recollection, but I think a document that was put together some time ago for the CDA said that the current business park total costs were somewhere around $26 million from its inception. So that was way back when. I would guess that for the same type of park to be built and constructed, it's going to be far more than $26 million. And I understand that these are TIF dollars, but nonetheless, you're, first of all, taking property off the tax rolls where businesses could be built, and you're putting a long-term investment into a business park, maybe 20 years, maybe more than that. So, again, the resolution is 92-3861, and I would ask that that be sent to the elected officials for their review and consideration. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak?
Casper Green, 3519 West Forest Hill Avenue. I've been thinking about making these statements here for quite a while, and today in today's Journal Sentinel, there were two or three articles about the school system and the changing over the school system, the public school system, and starting charter schools and all these all other types of private schools, and the taxpayers paying for those. Now, my wife and I raised eight children. Two of them since have died, and one boy died at age 12. But we put all of our kids through Catholic school through the eighth grade. We paid for it. And the kids that wanted to go to Catholic high school, we don't pay them too. I resent terribly the state passing a law that makes me pay taxes to send a kid to a private school. I believe this council should write some kind of a resolution to the state in opposition to using our tax money for sending kids to private schools. Now, you have every right to do that. At least they would know where you stand. And you know where I stand on that right now, because I just told you. So I'm asking you to get together as a council and write a resolution to the state, to the state legislature, and let them know that we are against using our private tax dollars to send kids to private schools. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Reed. Anyone else wishing to speak? Anyone else? Seeing no one else, I will close the citizens' comment. Thank you very much. Mayoral announcements, item one, state budget initiatives. I see Representative Skronsky in the audience. One of the items which is not included in the budget but is being circulated at the same time or similarly is an effort to repeal the hotel motel room tax. Just wanted to bring the council up to speed that's out there. The at risk is $185,000 in our annual budget, just so you know. There's also being circulated a bill to repeal the personal property tax. Don't have that number handy, but that as well is a substantial number. Some people say that's dead on arrival, but others say it's full steam ahead. So I bring that to your attention. Also, we're in the midst of a bunch of silliness on sex offender residency laws. Milwaukee County Circuit Court Judge Maroney has issued an order preempting all local ordinances in Milwaukee County. On your behalf, the city attorney joined with the other city attorneys from all of the Milwaukee County municipalities, filed an appeal with the appellate court to stay Maroney's decision. That's currently in process. It has not been taken up yet. Maroney has since placed a Chapter 980 offender on 11th and Van Beck. I happen to know that neighborhood because I used to live down there, along with another Chapter 980 offender. That has several Milwaukee aldermen all upset, which is rightfully so. I've heard rumblings of a move to recall Judge Maroney. So we've got that going on. Also at the same time, Representative Joel Clayfish, who I've worked with over the years, has put together a statute. He's circulating it now for sponsorship, co-sponsors, and it's an ordinance that in essence preempts all sex offender residencies, places a 1,000-foot maximum limit. I'm sorry, 1,000-foot, yes, maximum limit. Does not allow, it preempts all the ordinances, but it also says that it doesn't allow any local ordinances stricter than the state ordinance. And it has a provision in it that I think is half good, which is we've been calling a return to sender provision, whereby if the offender is from your community, comes back. But it says use best efforts. So somebody define for me what best effort means. Made a phone call, that's best effort. It's a very bad bill for the city of Franklin. The ICC is going to take it up at some point if it gets to the legislature. If I was a politician in the state capitol, I'd be looking at the numbers. There's almost 200 local ordinances. Why would you sign on to a bill that irritates 200 communities for no purpose? that I view Clay Fish's bill as an effort to lighten the load on DHS, Department of Health and Health Services, because they have a difficult time working with all the ordinances. I'm told by our chief that our relationship with DOC and DHS is wonderful. So, you know, we're fixing a problem that doesn't exist. Alderman Mayer.
Could I get copies of all of those different things? The bills and...
Sure, whatever. Okay. Yep.
Thank you.
Mr. City Attorney.
Two other short points. The representative's cover letter in the circulation of the proposed bill for others to potentially join on as a sponsor states that municipalities under the bill cannot enforce or adopt an ordinance which is more restrictive than the standards in the state ordinance. Actually, the law draft bill itself says that no municipality may enact any ordinance which in any way regulates sex offender residency, period. And then it also says any municipality which has an ordinance in effect after the bill is passed, if it is, shall not be able to enforce those ordinances as they pertain simply to sex offender residency, period. Also, the only persons subject to that placement, and this is a little bit short as opposed, because there are technical requirements, but in a thumbnail sketch, it only regulates class one and class two sex offenders, as well as I believe that only those being electronically monitored are subject to the restriction orders, and that is only while the state requires them to be monitored, whereas all the local ordinances right now pertain to essentially anyone who is a registered sex offender, and that is a lifetime requirement. Perhaps to some, most importantly, there are only two locations with the distance factor. One is children's schools, and the other one is child care facilities. So one simple hypothetical is to consider all of the various children's playgrounds statewide that are not next door to a school or a child care facility, but do have residential properties right across the street.
Alderman Schmidt.
On a little lighter note, I would just like to congratulate the student body at Franklin High School for they put together a music video for YouTube, and it was just featured at the 6 o'clock news on Channel 4 this evening. They got about a 30-second spot with the camera panning all the students going down the halls and stuff like that. So good news for Franklin.
Fire department, police department, and I were there. Janet was supposed to be there. Okay, anything else on sex offenders and the lip dub? Okay, last item, Director of Economic Development, hiring update. The ad has been placed right now in various publications. It's probably by now up on the GovHR site, and recruitment is beginning. We will get resumes. The resume deadline is July 6th. Evaluation of those will happen through July, and then we'll start interviewing and selection the week of July 27th. We expect to have interviews in August and hire in September. Okay. Item C, approval of the minutes in your packet, May 19th, 2015. Any additions or corrections? Hearing none, is there a motion to approve?
Move to approve.
Second.
Discussion?
Right here.
Alderman Willem.
On page 8, the item says proceed with the Franklin Hike bike path and return for bids. I wasn't familiar with what that was, so I don't know if there's a way to make that clarified or not. But that's the only thing I have. I didn't know when I read Franklin Hike bike path, I didn't know what that meant.
That's
I think that's on Forest Home.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
Maybe it should just say Forest Home somewhere in there. I don't know, in parentheses or something.
Maker of the motion, is that okay?
Yes.
And a second?
It's okay.
Any other discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Move to item G1, resolution naming the all-accessible, all-inclusive playground development at Franklin Woods, naming just the playground, Kayla's Playground. Is there a motion?
I'd like to make a motion naming the all-accessible, all-inclusive playground development at Franklin Woods, Kayla's Playground.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Without objection, it's recorded as unanimous. Item G2, Kayla's Playground Status Report of June 2nd, Mr. City Engineer.
June 9 is a we call it a pre-construction day where the designer from New York will be here and look at the site and make sure we have everything ready. Bidding for the restrooms, June 13. And at your next council meeting, we expect to award the bid for the restrooms.
Questions for the city engineer? Alderman Mayor, then Alderman Schmidt.
Mr. City Engineer, I have a question regarding the cost of walkways and then the patio. I don't understand what stone storage is.
Underneath the patio, we'll have about 2 feet of aggregate that will act as a storage for water, so all the water doesn't run off right away. It'll have a chance to soak in the ground. It's acting basically as retention.
That's so underneath that...
Underneath the pavers.
The pavers, okay. And then the walkways, what's included in the walkways?
We are replacing the pathways through there with sidewalks around the, if you will, the bus turnaround, so there'll be a sidewalk there. And then we'll be reconstructing the pathway actually going through the site. So the idea is that pavers have a tendency to maybe have some differential settling. So because we expect wheelchairs accessible, an actual concrete walkway will be less apt to separate.
So the walkway is concrete?
Yes.
Okay. So you're not doing anything with the trail that goes off around the path in both directions?
You'll be able to go from the pathway to what I call the walkway, concrete right. sidewalk, and then that will take you around the circular drive. Can go up to the restroom. You can go into the playground, and it can also take you basically back around. I don't have a picture with me, but if you look at it, you can actually see it separated different.
Yeah, okay, thank you.
Alderman Schmidt.
The restrooms, you've got estimated cost of $201,000. Is that price, is that anticipating this a high volume restroom facility, or is this a standard size? How much utility do you think that we'll get? How much bang will we get for the bucket?
Well, this is a facility, and I've shown you pictures before. I didn't include tonight, but it's completely concrete. Will require virtually no maintenance. There's no shingles to replace, no wood to have to repaint. It's concrete inside now, very sturdy. It'll come all together, set down in place. There's three modules that actually that'll be separate, be setting together. So for the women's side, there'll be two toilets. For the men's side, there'll be a toilet, a urinal, and then there'll be two what we call family bathrooms. So they're basically a one room, so if you will, a unisex but then there would have a, what do you call it, adult changing table, and the other one would have a baby changing table.
Another thing, got factored in a 10% contingency fee of almost $104,000. Is that anticipating like cost overruns or something? Or
could be cost overruns. I mean, these are all estimates. I can tell you that, for example, I'm bidding out the materials and small tools. We have had a lot of donations, so I don't know the value of that, but the prices are coming down.
So you're confident, hopefully, that will stay under that additional total sum?
I sure hope so, or we'll be looking to cut something out, yes.
Alderman Wilhelm, Alderman Dandrew.
Do you have a cost per foot for the walkway?
Not handy, no. We figured out square yards, and we figured the stone underneath it. I believe it's a 6-foot wide pathway.
And do you have the total length?
Not with me. No.
Could you send me that?
Sure.
Okay. And then the sign for 2000. What kind of sign are we anticipating?
That's an allowance. We've asked the school to maybe be creative and do some sort of sign. And we're using $2,000 for materials that they could use. Again, I hope that's on the high side. I hope we're under our budget.
Well, I can talk to you about a source that can do a really nice sign for a lot less, full color. So, you know, afterward, if you want to talk about that, I can give you a couple options to look at.
Alderman Dandridge.
So then, Glenn, as these bids come in, we'll be seeing actual instead of budgeted items?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Alderman Mayer.
Just one last question on the restrooms. That's just those concrete structures, right?
And the associated utility inside work that has to go with it, yes.
What would that be?
We have to stub up the water in the sewer. The electric work.
So that's not included in the water service?
The water service is actually the extension down Crest Street. And probably the water service over to the restroom site.
And the utility charges?
That is
Power from Bentville.
No, that's the
well, that's electric.
Because the utility, we operate the utility is separate from the city, there is a charge. An impact fee, I guess, for the water utility.
Oh, okay.
Right. Thank you.
Any other questions? All right. G3, a resolution authorizing certain officials to execute an MOU for the 2015 use of the softball fields located near the public works facility at 7979 West Ryan Road with Franklin Force Incorporated.
Moved. Second.
Discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G4, resolution authorizing certain officials to execute a memorandum, an MOU, with the Franklin Public School District for use of the same softball fields located at the Public Works Facility, 7979 West Ryan Road. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Seeing none. Alderman Mayer.
No, I was just told.
All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G5, results of a survey, 46th Street and Crest Court areas for water service. Mr. City Engineer.
For the discussion at the last meeting, we have two areas that have an interest in water. And instead of going through a lot of effort to do the pre-engineering and estimation of cost, we decided to send out a preliminary survey and see if there was an interest. And if there was, presumably we would proceed with an estimation then send out the official survey and see if they really are interested once they know the cost. So I put on in front of your desk tonight updated responses. So for the 46th Street, this is the location between Hilltop and West Ryan Road along 46th Street. Total of 19 surveyed properties. We have received 12 responses back. Three responses were yes, four responses were maybe, and five responses were no. And if you look at the map, the curious thing is that the gentleman that we spent a lot of time talking to regarding this, who seemed to want it, did not respond. And the yeses are at the very far north and in the middle of the project. And so when we look at that, based on the number of homes that are there, this is probably one worth consideration. And so we would recommend that the council direct us to go ahead and do some preliminary engineering work and come up with some cost estimates and actually look at the project.
And resurvey.
And resurvey.
Is there a motion to that effect?
I'll make that motion.
Motion is to authorize staff to come up with a better estimate and resurvey. Is there a second?
I'll second.
I would second.
A fighting second.
Let's end it. Or let Alderwoman Mayor have it.
There you go. Alderman Schmidt, Alderwoman Evans.
If this were to be approved, are all the residents along here required to hook up, or do they still have the option of maintaining wells?
They still have the option to keep their well. If and when they decide to hook up, there'd be hookup charges. And then it'd be up to you to talk about any deferment if you would allow that.
Alderman Evans.
Yesterday you received one letter that I forwarded to you.
I'm sorry, did that not make it on there?
I thought forwarding you that letter would have made four yeses. I'm wondering if maybe it got coded as a no instead of a yes.
I didn't bring that with me. Do you remember which property it was?
Bartels. Bernice Bartels. It's on the corner of
That is coded as a maybe.
Yeah, it should be a...
It doesn't really matter if this passes. It's just
yeah.
Fine.
I will comment to the gentleman who spoke before the meeting or public comment regarding this project.
Thank you.
Alderman Mayor?
I do have a question regarding surveys. I mean, we don't have anything in the packet that shows what actually went out to the residents. So was there a deadline that they needed to meet to send that back?
Yes.
It was a quick deadline because there is some urgency with as he mentioned, some well that is failing. And as I told, I received several phone calls regarding the timeline. You know, we're trying to get a glimpse of the entire properties. We will give them more time once we do the official survey.
Is there a time limit that needs to happen between surveys?
You'll have to tell
that
me. I'm not sure about any
is there a delay?
Stipulation.
I mean, you could go on and just keep sending letters out to these people until you get the answer then.
Well, the letter we sent, and I outlined it in your last packet, and I talked about, actually included some of the language that we put in the last packet. It was really to just get a gist if folks are indeed interested. Now that, obviously, it sounds like that you're going to approve this, now we will actually do some actual pre-engineering work. We'll come up with some estimates, and then we'll send letters to the each residence and say, if you were to hook up, we expect it to cost this amount of dollars.
Is this the way that surveys are usually done, where you have multiple kinds of surveys to get a project
no.
done?
No, not that I'm aware of. This is the first one I've done since I've been here.
So what's the answer to that?
Mr. City Attorney.
My recollection is that circa 1996, there was a common council adopted resolution, which was introduced by Alderman Vincent T. Waldenberger, that provided in part that any survey resulting in a rejection of a proposal could not be resurveyed, I believe, for a period of 9 months. But I could check that real quick.
Would this constitute as this?
Well, I didn't understand what no responses meant. I thought under a response category, the last category said no responses. I thought I misunderstood that. So ultimately, what's now, there are 10, well, you said 12. In the action sheet, it says 10. And it was 3 yes, 3 maybe, so, and 4 no. If no responses means no,
no means
3 to 3 to 4. I'd still want to see the resolution to see what it talks about. Tendencies for unusual voting results with a 3 to 3 to 4.
I think...
One more thing with regard to the extension of water, and I could be wrong on this because I don't think I've had to look at it for years, but if it goes in by special assessment, you don't have to hook up to it, which means you don't have to pay for the installation of a lateral within your property and then service charges, but you still get specially assessed for front foot for the water main.
The point on this is, this was the initial test of waters with no numbers on it. I would have put maybe 2. I wouldn't have put no. I wouldn't have put yes. I'd put maybe. What do I know, you know?
Well, that's what a lot of the comments are, is we don't really know what we're...
Right. So the motion, as I understand it, is put the numbers together, resurvey them. And what I wanted to say earlier is, this is true democracy. Majority rules. If more want it, then don't, pretty much, just as I was going to agree. Then we move on to the next step. Mr. City Attorney corrects me, and then we'll go to Alderman Schmidt.
In review of survey results, it is up to the Common Council to make a decision and take that into account. It's not a mandatory, as would be a binding referendum.
Mr. Alderman Schmidt.
In relationship to the Crest Court extension, basically is something that is mandatory if to service the playground restrooms.
I mean, with your permission, Doug, let's do that one in a minute. Let's finish with the 46th Street and the Crest Court. Anything else on 40, Alderman Mayor?
I just need clarification from the city attorney. Is this, would this constitute another survey within 9 months, or is this?
Mr. City Attorney.
Perhaps the motion should simply be subject to staff review of prior Common Council resolution as it pertains to surveying property owners.
Is that approved by the maker of the motion?
I'll approve that.
Second?
Second.
Okay.
I understand there were 2 areas that you were talking about.
We'll get to that, sir, please. Thank you.
Passing.
Yep. So the 46th Street one resurvey. Any other questions? Alderman Schmidt, you okay? The motion was to put together better numbers and resurvey pending the review of the past resolution from 1996, Mr. City Engineer.
Yeah, as I mentioned at the last meeting, this wasn't really meant to be the official survey. This was really to test the waters, because depending on how the projects were laid out, it could be a wide variance in what these projects looked like, and it greatly affected the cost. Good example of that is probably Crest Court Extension. This is a project where...
Let's do that later.
Oh, ready to do this.
Well, let's do the motion. So there's a motion on the floor. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Mr. City Engineer.
As I was saying, Crest Court is one that we were going to extend the water so we could provide service to Kayla's Playground in Franklin Woods. We're going to extend water from 35th and Crest over to 36th and Crest. If you recall, there was someone at one of the previous meetings that asked for the extension of water to serve other areas. So whether we extend it one block or 10 blocks, it's really kind of curious as to where we would actually extend the water. So this was the main reason why we did preliminary water surveys. So we sent this out to kind of get a feel for where there was interest. By and large, the interest was none, with the exception of a few not too far from where we planned to extend the water main, and then a few others scattered throughout the subdivision. So the results were modified. That's in front of your chair. 132 properties were surveyed. 71 of those properties responded. 9 of the properties responded with a yes. 19 out of the 71 responded maybe, they might be interested. and 43 were no, they were definitely not interested. I fielded several phone calls, and the ones that were no very emphatic that they did not want water. So if you did want to extend water to something more than the Kalis Playground, we might make a recommendation that you only extend it one block down Maple Crest and one block down Glenwood to capture three of the houses that expressed an interest. But in reality, this probably is one that we can save some time and not do a lot of work trying to engineer and estimate.
Alderwoman Evans.
I have no interest in, as alderman of the district, in pursuing this myself.
Is that a motion to place on file?
I'll make that motion to place on file.
Second.
Second.
Thank you. Discussion of that motion. All those in favor to place on file signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G6.
Can you tell me what that meant? I'm not sure what that meant. Does that mean that you won't put in the water? You won't resurvey to put in water in that area?
We're not resurveying. We're not doing anything.
No.
Now.
Okay.
And now.
Okay, so this won't come up for
9 months. if that resolution is what it says.
It might not come up for 9 years.
It might not. Yeah, it might not come up ever again. Okay, item G6, a resolution to sign a professional services contract to design a trail for Christine Rathke Memorial Park. Before we do this, I just want to point out that I don't believe anybody's had a conversation with the quarry operators who own that parcel. Mr. City Engineer.
We have been playing phone tag, and preliminary conversations are that they may not be interested in the route that we proposed at the last meeting. They might be interested in the route to a south. Basically, that's primarily on Milwaukee County Parks. We place phone calls back to try to verify that. And again, we're playing phone tag.
Move to table.
Second then.
Till
additional information can be provided from the engineering department.
What about next meeting?
Next meeting is fine.
Second.
I'll second that.
On to next meeting.
Right.
Alderman Mayor, on the motion.
I do have some concerns regarding the cost of the engineering. This is a trail, and I'm wondering if we can also get bids out to other engineering firms.
City Engineer.
Generally do not like to bid professional services, but I can talk to other engineering firms and gather similar proposals.
So I'd like to add that to the motion also.
Several motions.
On the motion to table. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Madam Alderwoman Mayor.
I'd like to make a motion to look at to direct staff to look at other engineering services and bring back more information on, you know, what competitive bids could be made.
Is there support for that?
Second.
Any discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor? I'm sorry, Mr. LeBert.
Based on the city engineer's comments, I don't only suggest the word proposals instead of bids, so to avoid.
The maker nodded up and down.
I agree.
All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G7, a resolution awarding contract to Little Bitter Musson Brothers Incorporated, amount of $324,071 for the South 35th Street, South 36th Street, South 37th Place PPI Sanitary Sewer Project, alone Wilhelm.
Question before I'll make the motion. Letters going out to residents have gone out, will go out, status?
They will go out.
Okay. Make sure I get a copy of what goes out or what's being proposed to go out. Motion to adopt resolution 2015, a resolution awarding contract to the low bidder, Newsom Brothers, Inc., the amount of $324,071 for the South 35th Street, South 36th Street, South 37th Place, private property sanitary sewer lateral inflow and infiltration rehabilitation south of West Madison Boulevard.
Second.
Discussion. Alderwoman Mayer.
I have a question regarding the fact that there's only one bidder on here. Where would that be? And why would Rueckert Milkey be the one sending out the bids?
Mr. City Engineer.
First of all, Rueckert Milkey is our design consultant that actually is doing the project for us, at least overseeing it through MMSD and doing all the reporting for us. As far as one bid, perhaps the bidders are a little busier this year, and so to gather interest, we didn't shorten the bid time that we normally do. We sent it to the general places that we normally get. Now, last year we got several bids, and I wish I could tell you why we only got one bid, but I was pretty guessing.
Usually in the packets there are the actual bids in the packet so you can see what they are. Is there some way we could ask Rueckert Milkey for all the bids that they received and the actual bid thing? You can just send that to me if you would like.
We only received one bid. This is the one bid that we received. Are you talking about an itemized bid for each lateral?
No,
pricing?
each company bidding on the project.
There was only one company that bid.
Okay, thank you.
On a motion, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G8, Quarry Monitoring Committee recommendations, a review of information pertaining to city noise regulations and tarps on trucks. Who's going to take this one? The city attorney.
With regard to the monitoring committee recommendations for review and application of the city's noise ordinance and possible amendment thereto, Chief Oliva reviewed that and advised the city attorney's office that he didn't have any problem with that occurring, but that he didn't think his department was currently qualified or prepared to undertake that activity in the future, and thought that if the council wants to move forward with that, it should be another department such as engineering or the Department of City Development. And with regard to the tarping of trucks, this has been reviewed, I know it was reviewed 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago with the same answer, that it's technically not available under state motor vehicle regulations, which preempt that type of regulation being adopted by local governments. And I know one of the arguments dating back to 1995 through 1997 with regard to the creation of the plan development district ordinances for the quarry, the argument was that the operators don't own all the trucks that enter the quarry operation. And so it would be similar, this was one of the hypothetical arguments, similar to requiring some national department store to not allow pickup trucks to enter the parking lot, only sedans or something. That was always the argument. But in any event, Assistant City Attorney Joshi reviewed the statutes and says it's preempted in terms of local regulation.
Alderman Willem.
Well, looking at the write-up about the police chief suggested that he may invoke the city ordinance and delegate the authority, it should maybe that section be looked at for any possible changes that needs to allow that, and maybe staff to review that ordinance as it said so.
The chief is, as of my reading the ordinances, he can delegate it. If we want to pursue that and he wants to delegate it, he just has to tell me who he wants to delegate it to. And if it's planning or engineering, we'll take care of it. But I have a rhetorical question to ask. Actually, I've got a pointed question to ask. Once the noise happens, how do you go measure it?
Well, well, I don't know if this was specifically just for the quarry, because we have other noise issues, and that's why we recommended that the police chief give input, because his department does handle noise complaints. So it was a way to address it on a wider level without stepping out of what the quarry monitoring committee's role was.
Any action regarding these items?
So there's no desire to look at our noise ordinance.
Okay, item G9, resolution adopting purchasing card policy and procedures, City of Franklin. As you discussed this, I'd ask to add one additional level of control. Turn to page 70. The last now will therefore city purchasing cards be issued to department heads and other department staff as requested by department heads with the approval of the Director of Finance and Treasurer and the Mayor. Just want to add one more level of approval on that. There's also language under page 71 under item 1, but I don't find it in conflict. Perhaps the city attorney can offer an opinion, but Mr. Liberta, is it yours?
On behalf of the finance director, who did do most of the drafting that I worked with him, and he took it to finance. This is something that would be very useful in the administration of the city. There's conveniences, there's savings that can be made. Paul's memo doesn't go into it in great detail, but it, given the controls that between the bank and internal records that we can have on them, we don't believe it's a significant risk or liability to the city if we're following the policies and procedures set forth here. We'd recommend approval.
Is there action regarding this item?
Yeah, I'd like to make the motion.
As amended with my changes.
As amended with your changes.
Correct. I'll second that.
Discussion of the motion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. By the way, Alderman, I'm not included. Item G10, a resolution to authorize purchase of Real Asset Management Company fixed asset software. Ms. Liberta.
As you recall, in the capital budget this year, the Common Council increased the contingency portion with the specific direction that departments, during the course of the year, if they could find purchases that would provide efficiencies or safety enhancements, they could bring it forward for consideration. The finance director recognize the very labor-intensive annual role that they have in doing in monitoring fixed and maintaining fixed assets as you delegate depreciation. He notes that they have about 160 hours a year they spend working on this, whereas they can, with proper software, very easily be able to maintain these in a more accurate level for city as a whole and for sewer and water monthly, which is what they're required to do by their rules. They evaluated three different software pieces and did take this to the Technology Commission that challenged them on some of the reasons for it and the benefits. It does mesh well with our current system, so there won't be any undue burden on the network or the resources there. And so he's requesting approval to purchase this software from Real Asset Management for $8,950, which will then, for future budgets, create an annual maintenance cost of about $1,750. So it will pay for itself in less than 2 years in staff time savings.
Alderman Evans?
Yeah, the Finance Committee reviewed this, and seeing the spreadsheets that the finance department, finance director has been using, it's unreal how they're even managing that. And this was a real reasonable cost compared to the three that were presented to us. So I'd like to make a motion to authorize the purchase of Real Asset Management fixed asset software with contingency appropriations in the capital outlay fund.
I'll second.
This is a big deal. Any other discussion?
Well, let me just add that
Alderman Dandrea.
The Thomson Reuters bid, we didn't go with the lowest bid because it's an inferior product. And so it would create more work than the other two bids that were provided to us. So we went with the middle option bid for that particular reason. Thank you.
All those in favor of the motion, Mr. City Attorney?
Only that I was copied on 3-5 emails mid last week, end of last week, between the director of finance and the company representative, where the director of finance had some rather relevant large issues with one of the proposed, it was an escrow agreement and city's rights to the material in case the company goes bankrupt, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I was just copied on those. I didn't talk to the director of finance. When I looked at the packet, I didn't see any draft agreement in there. The company rep did end up by saying, we'll look forward to seeing whatever you propose in terms of this agreement. So I'm assuming that still has to be done, and I'm just informing the common council. Maybe Mr. Roberta knows more than me on that.
Alderman Evans, is your motion subject to...
Well, that's already covered in the resolution because it says such documents as required.
All those in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G11, financial report for the quarter, monthly. Any questions on the financial report?
Motion to place on final.
Second.
Discussion of the motion, seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G12, Director of Information Technology job description and an authorization to execute professional services contract to go higher. Mr. Roberto.
In your packet is the job description for the position of Director of Information Technology. This will be reviewed by the Personnel Committee and then forwarded to the Technology Commission. So you have their recommendation forwarded to you. Behind that is a what's called a red line version or highlight version that shows you the changes that they made. I thought the comments that they made were very insightful and useful. The main differences with that were identifying that a master's degree can be noted as a plus, but not to allow it to substitute for any years of experience, which had been our initial proposal. And then they did want to emphasize the communication requirements, communicating effectively verbally and writing, and emphasize their role in emergency operations. I would recommend approval. This is budgeted in this year's budget to start. So, and we will have the class and compensation consultant also include this in their study. Although we'll begin advertising with the budgeted estimate, which is based on one of our comparable communities.
Alderwoman Willow.
I just need a little bit of information about what happened at the loss of IT personnel that were there now. There's been some kind of changeover before hiring this person. Can you update me that on that?
Currently, we have the consulting firm Heartland Business Systems that provides us with two staff members, largely one working here in the City Hall and one the police department. We had the experience some turnover in November. One of the individuals.
This was since then.
Pardon?
This was a lot more recent than November.
Well, but that instigated. Since then, we've been looking for the right person for a fit. So, Heartland brought in a higher level person that. Level certifications and abilities than is in our contract and expectations with them to fill the role. And that was a gentleman by the name of Russ who served us very well during the period. And actually, I think Heartland deserves some credit for providing us and him at the discounted rate so that they could keep systems running that they're contractually expected to. So Russ was filling a role. We had one person in for a short term that ultimately we determined wasn't a good match. And about a month ago, three weeks ago, I think now, we found somebody that we believe is a good match and, in fact, stopped as of this week having Russ fill in and believe we've made the transition to our current individual.
So all of these hiring and letting go of positions are nothing that the council needs to be aware of? They're just, you know, when I call up and I need help with IT, and I'm like, well, we don't have someone there because so-and-so is leaving or today's my last day or whatever, I don't know anything about this. So I'm just wondering if that's totally the preview under your department or is some of this part of what the council should be made aware of?
Well, it's a private company. They provide the workers. We have the right by the contract to say, no, we don't think this person should be allowed to work here with our data. So we get to do the background checks we want as well. We have to approve their people. But they
As a person who's kind of supposed to be in charge of policy, and if we're having a problem with something like that, it, to me, it seems like it might be important for at least us to get a memo or something.
I duly noted. I'll make sure that to notify you of any turnovers in staffing by the consultant is notified to you. With that being the case, we do expect that Phil Markworth has been with us for a very long time, since four companies ago, will be moving on and relocating to Texas sometime probably in July. So
okay.
They've already working on filling that position.
We're getting a little afoul of the agenda item.
Just a little background history so we know where we're going with hiring and job description and who has responsibility. I think it's important to the point. The other issue that I think is important is I'm one of the few, I think, that have a Mac and typically have more challenges than the Microsoft users. I'm trying to get someone that can help me work through those. There were a couple guys that were pretty good. They're not always available, and now we're having more changeovers, so I'm wondering how that's going to affect my ability to do that. Will this person have any Mac knowledge? Because I didn't see anything in this write-up, and with more and more people purchasing Macs, that might be important. And the other issue is the color vision. As someone who has a degree in electronics, I find color vision kind of an important aspect. Even if someone needs their monitored adjustment done, how do you send someone who's colorblind into even adjust a monitor, let alone hook up cables?
Most
things are color-coded.
With the research that I looked into and with the input from the Technology Commission, who unanimously indicated at the meeting that none of them had ever seen it as a requirement in jobs they had looked at, so I looked into it a little further. And my conclusion was that given that I fully expect any director of information technology will continue to have two technicians available to them, that should the role where they're doing something that a technician would otherwise be doing, filling in for them, come into play, and the specific need, for example, making a cable, where that wiring has to be right, comes into play, would be able to rely. So it'd be a very reasonable.
So instead of one guy on the job, you have two guys on the job because one guy can't see the color of the cable.
Well, but
it doesn't really make a lot of sense.
We're hiring the person to be the director, not the technician. So it would be a very reasonable accommodation for the maybe twice a year the person has to make a cable for them to say, on one of those two times, their technician on house here doesn't happen to be here. Call the other technician and say, come over from the PD, I need a cable. That's if they could do it, because one of our Technology Commission members, who runs an IT department for another group, is colorblind, and says he's able to make cables when he needs to because there are some other tricks he learned. So I couldn't find any support for leaving it in to the point of excluding between 10 to 12% of the potential male population could qualify when I was confident there were reasonable accommodations. Therefore, under ADA, I couldn't see any reason to continue to leave it in, so I took it out.
Just so the council understands, like the previous mayor, the current mayor meets with staff often, regularly, and we discuss personnel issues, including staffing in the IT department. It's not something that goes where decisions are made willy-nilly. We have substantial discussions, including this color vision issue. So I appreciate the comment.
Well, my my reference to the Mac user was not addressed.
In the write-up, it notes that those technical issues won't be included in the job description. They'll be included in the announcements, in the job advertising, so that every time we change the nature of our system, for example, if we switched from one kind of web language to a .NET language, we don't have to change the job description. So the technical aspects of our network aren't in the job description. They would be considered in the advertising. And there you do focus on those things that you do and have the most of. So with all due respect, I doubt we would be emphasizing looking for something with Apple, because we're going to be focusing in the ad on the project management, the larger network components, and we will ask about some other things, and it can be one of those tiebreaker kind of issues, but we're going to be focusing on the bigger project management, strategic initiative, ability to maintain the networks, their software administration, their familiarity with some of our bigger components like Cisco wireless networks and the servers and stuff like that.
Well, just keep in mind, I do represent about 6,000 people and overall a city of 36,000 people, and I do need to communicate. So if you ask a question, I'd appreciate it.
Alderman Schmidt, then Alderman Evans.
I'd like to move to approve the job description for the Director of Information Technology.
I'll second that.
Alderman Evans.
I was just going to say that I think in the 21st century that most IT professionals are skilled in most operating systems. So I would think they know OS.
Any other discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item G13, designation of official newspapers or
there,
motion.
There were two items.
Oh, I'm sorry, there was.
I'll make a motion to authorize the mayor and city clerk to execute a professional services agreement with a public sector recruitment consultant, GovHR USA, or Springstead, Inc., for the purpose of conducting a search for a director of information technology for an amount not to exceed $20,000, including advertising costs, but limited to and using available appropriations in the information services, personal services portion of the 2015 budget.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Is a motion, item G13, is there a motion adopting a resolution designating the official newspaper? That being the now.
So moved.
Second.
Discussion. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Move to item H1, licenses. Mr. Alderman Dandrea.
The licensing committee would like to make the following recommendations. This is from the meeting held on June 1st. Operator new, Jamie Bellisuri approved. Millicent Hines approved. Frankie Januszewski approved. Danielle Johnson, hold for appearance, missing notary information. Michael Lloyd approved. Roger Young approved. Cody Eldy, hold for appearance. Operator new. Laura Applegate approved. Jamie Bellisferri approved.
Excuse me, you said new.
And I just changed it to renewals.
You said new.
Okay. Starting with Laura Applegate, it'll be renewals. Operator renewals. Sorry about that one. Laura Applegate approved. Jamie Bellisferri approved. Wendy Bellisferri approved. Melissa Ballou approved. The second page, Daryl Bostwick approved. James Brown approved. William Canellis approved. Holly Case approved. Ashley Clark approved. Joel Clifford approved. Denise Cooley approved. Jennifer Connors approved. Melissa Conway approved. Peggy Counter approved. Robert Cutting approved. Chad Zarnicki approved. Michael Dock approved. Mitchell Delotta approved. Continuing with Operator Renewal, Christy Drapes approved. Kristen Duffy approved. Lori Folkowski approved. Caitlin Flowers approved. Gino Gagliana approved. Vanessa Garnier approved. Melissa Goralewski approved. Gordon Groff approved. Patricia Greer approved. Jeremy Hazy approved. Linda Hart approved. Bambi Hartfield approved. Nicole Hinckley approved. Evan Huffman approved.
Can you do through?
Through, sure. I can go operator renewal on the page four. Jason Hoffstead through Deborah Lyons approved. Page five, operator renewals through from Danielle Martin through Karen Pasconi approved. Operator new, Gabrielle Cruz, hold for appearance. Operator new, Cheryl Pearson approved. Operator renewal, veteran Polovic approved. Now page six, Gregory, this is operator renewal, Gregory Poulin, approved complete call to complete application. Operator renewal, Denise Pop approved. Tanya Patecki approved. Then operator new, Anthony Reggio, hold for appearance, first meeting in July. Now, operator new, Kayla Redlin approved. Now, on that page, operator renewals to the end from Richard Ruchlin to Graham Sershin approved. Page seven, operator renewals from Vito Cicilano to Julia Wolf approved. Then operator new, Benjamin Woods approved. Jared Zakharovsky approved. Then operator renewal, Philip Zerkowski approved.
Second?
I'll second that.
Madam Clerk? Nothing? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Alderman Dan.
Well, we got one more. Now we have the licensing committee from June 2nd today. The licensing committee would like to make the following recommendation. Temporary entertainment and amusement for Irish Cottage, the Poker Run. We're approving it subject to them providing staff with a site plan, site layout, with also a secondary plan for an inclement weather, and also pay their fees and provide staff with a acknowledgement that Lemke's has approved the use of their parking lot for parking for staff only. And also that Highway H, the Sheriff's Department, is allowing Highway H to be used as off-site parking in case of crowd. That would be Ryan Road. So that is out of our controls. This was the Sheriff's Department that allowed that. Then we go on to the next one, operator new. Joshua Farrell. It's approved, subject to with a letter. Operator renewals. Jennifer Costello approved with a letter. Margaret Spranger approved. Joshua Farrell, this is operator renewal. Joshua Farrell, approved with a letter. Change of agent, Quick Trip, approved. Change of agent, Walgreens Company, approved. Daycare, Academy of Integrity, approved, subject to inspections. Entertainment and amusement, Fun Times, approved, subject to inspections. Amusement device operators, American Entertainment, approved. Amusement device operator, Games R Us, Inc., approved. Reggie's Amusements, approved. Auto Salvage, Al's Auto Salvage, subject approved, subject to inspections. And Extraordinary Entertainment and Special Events, Xavier Missionaries, approved.
Second.
Just a comment I've noticed over the past several months, we need to do a little commendation for staff. Years past, we would have a long list of hold for inspections. I haven't heard that in months. It's a good thing. So, Mark, you pass that on to staff. Health Department and PD. Is that okay with the license committee? Ish? Can't do that, sorry. A motion's been made.
And seconded.
And seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Item I-1. Is there a motion approving? Ready? Ready. All right, the clerk was born ready. Is there a motion approving? There is a revised invoices at your table. Motion approving net general checking account city vouchers ranges 156540 through 156692 in the amount of $881,871.50 dated May 15th through June 1st.
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman Dander.
Aye.
Alderman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Evans.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderman Mayer.
Aye.
Motion passes. Vote is six ayes, no noes, one abstention. I'm sorry. You're correct. I was counting wrong. Five ayes. No noes. No abstentions. Is there a motion approving the net payroll dated May 29th, 2015, in the amount of $365,580 in payments of the various payroll deductions in the amount of $362,507.35 plus city matching payments?
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Dander.
Aye.
Motion carries this time by a vote of five ayes, no noes, no abstentions.
One absent.
Is there a motion approving the net payroll dated June 12th, estimated at $356,000, and payments of the various payroll deductions estimated at $203,000 plus city matching payments where required?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion? Madam Clerk.
Alderman Dander.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
Motion approved. Five ayes, no noes, one absent. Is there a motion approving property tax EFTs number 52 and 53 in the amount of $1,500,262.31 dated May 15th through May 28th?
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman Dander.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
Motion carries. Vote is five ayes, no noes, one absent. Is there a motion approving the net general checking account city vouchers ranges 156693 through 156696 in the amount of $1,138 dated June 1?
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderman Dandria.
Aye.
Motion carries. Vote is five ayes, no noes, one absent. Is there a motion to authorize release of deposit, prepayment, and checks for the contractual obligations due prior to July 8, 2015, as required for the 2015 Franklin Civic Celebrations event, consistent with the authorization you passed on November 18, 2014?
So moved.
Second.
Madam Clerk.
Alderman Dander.
Aye.
Alderwoman Wilhelm.
Aye.
Alderwoman Evans.
Aye.
Alderman Schmidt.
Aye.
Alderwoman Mayer.
Aye.
You guys don't have to say it. You don't know how tough it is. Motion carries. Vote is five ayes, no noes, one absent. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
Discussion?
Third.
Seeing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries. We are adjourned.